Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Jason began his career in tea as a teaologist and later a store and category manager at Teavana in Atlanta, Georgia. Founder Andy Mack recognized him with the Spirit of Teavana Award in 2013. When Starbucks acquired the pioneering specialty chain, Jason moved to Seattle, where he worked in brand management and sourcing. In 2022, he was named Senior Manager of Global Tea, responsible for sourcing and developing tea-based beverages across the company's global network. Jason joined Woolenhop as North American CEO in September 2024. Hey, Jason, it's raining here in Winnipeg, which sure beats more April snow.
It's a sunny day in Seattle, so you can't complain.
Congratulations on your role as Chief Executive Officer at Woolenhop Tea, North America. You began your career in specialty tea as a part-time teaologist. Later, you managed a Teavana store before working as a corporate buyer after the company was acquired by Starbucks in 2012. You had a front-row seat as Teavana expanded to 397 retail locations and transitioned to a top consumer packaged grocery brand and in-store favorite, generating more than $1.5 billion in annual sales.
So I started my tea career in retail, about as close to the bottom of the ladder as you can get, taking out the trash and giving out tea samples. That was a fantastic education in realizing just both the scope and the breadth of a variety that customers are looking for. And so anything from somebody that, you know, came in looking for the fruitiest of sweetened iced teas all the way to, you know, single origin, first blush Darjeelings or Assams, Ceylons, and everything in between. It's really easy for brands to get focused on either a target customer or some, you know, vision or prototype that they have in their mind. I think it's important to consider the range that's out there, but also know who you're trying to appeal to and stay true to your own values, right? And so I think, you know, to your point, the customer is definitely going to vote with their wallet. I've always tried to, you know, subscribe to the philosophy that the customer is always right. I'm a, you know, Southern boy at heart and grew up in Atlanta. And so, you know, we were taught our manners, and that was always something that I was encouraged to consider, treat people fairly, treat people with respect, and they will do the same in return. And so throughout my career, I've always tried to be understanding and considerate of wherever a customer is on that journey, right? There's no judgment. There's no tea snobbery. People are going to come into this thing at various places. The trends will always change, whether that's something because of Instagram and just social media, where, you know, suddenly visuals and colors and inclusions are driving more of it than perhaps even flavor in some instances. Being able to recognize those trends, adapt, but I think also staying kind of true to your own core and what your identity is. It's an important balancing act that you have to do, especially as a brand that's dealing directly with customers. All the consumer research I've ever seen, brand is usually one of the biggest decision points for customers of whether they will actually pick a product up and buy it, right? They have to have brand trust. I've seen what it takes behind the scenes to build up that trust, and it is an incredible amount of work and diligence that has to happen every day, 24/7. Because you have to get it right every time, or that one time you mess up might be the end of your reputation or of your brand potentially. And so I think quality around knowing your sources, knowing your partners, having a proven track record, right, of people that you've worked with, who you know can deliver a consistent, clean, safe product. If I were personally saying, you know, what do I care most about? I think either, you know, just watching kind of the shift to regenerative agriculture, seeing how that can maybe be commercialized or organized a little bit will be interesting to see. And if that becomes maybe the next round of what organic was kind of originally intended to be. I think also, you know, again, kind of knowing where your products come from, the transparency, traceability, working with partners that are open to sharing that type of information, I think builds trust, builds confidence in where it comes from.
Let's examine the market for green tea. Health is undoubtedly a leading trend. We've observed a notable spike in sales worldwide since the pandemic. The U.S. currently accounts for half of Japan's tea exports by value. In Europe, the green tea market is valued at $3.85 billion in 2024 and is expected to grow by 7.1% through 2033. Last year, matcha, valued at $915 million, accounted for 24% of the European green tea market value.
Well, so with green, I mean, I would say matcha is definitely by far one of the biggest things trend-wise that we've seen in the last really 5 to 10 years. Having come from Starbucks, obviously matcha was a very important beverage and category for us. But even just around, you know, my local area, I'm in Seattle, so it's nice because we get to see a lot of the kind of initial openings of either Tokyo-based, Taiwan-based, even Hong Kong-based tea shops open up. A lot of their U.S. locations kind of originate here. And so you get to see what they're promoting, what's doing well. I think, you know, matcha's been on a tear. I think it's a 9.5% or almost 10% annual growth rate projected over the next few years, which definitely outpaces tea as a whole. What I think is interesting, though, about matcha and why I think it's been so successful is it really does address kind of all the factors that different consumer groups are interested in. You obviously have the health and wellness element, right? It looks healthy. It tastes healthy. It does have some more kind of immediate benefits that you can feel, whether that's from the energy or the L-theanine. But also, you know, the visual element, right? It's dynamic. It looks good. It's something unique that shows up well in photography and on social media. And, I think the third is the cultural, exploration piece. I think that's a huge other trend that we see a kind of cross tea, maybe less on the botanicals, but definitely with tea is people are looking to almost have an experience, have an adventure in the products that they consume. They do it with food. They do it with different cuisines. They do the same with tea. And I think tea is actually an amazing vehicle for that, right? You can tap into centuries, if not more, of culture by having one cup of tea or going to a tea ceremony or a tea house. And I think matcha is fantastic at that, right? I mean, obviously you could go the full blown tea ceremony route. But it's also something you can throw in a smoothie bottle and, you know, take to the gym with you if you wanted to. And so I think it allows people to dip a toe into one of the oldest and kind of, you know, one of my favorite tea cultures in the world, while also doing something that is, you know, pretty interesting, hip, I guess, you might say, but also that is good for you, that can be a real energy supplement. One thing that I have seen in some of the research is the importance of kind of energy management, really that kind of clean energy approach. I think it's almost like 45% of Gen Z customers report, you know, drinking tea for that particular reason. And so that doesn't necessarily mean it has to come from black tea or green tea. It could be yerba mate. It could be green tea extract, you know, putting in energy drinks and, you know, this kind of wave of more health forward natural energy drinks, a lot of which are using tea extract, at least as their base for caffeine. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people view tea as kind of that natural alternative to Red Bull or all the other energy drinks that are on the market. And, you know, matcha obviously does the same.
Your comments raise an interesting question about format. In 2009, Starbucks introduced $1 a tube via instant coffee, now a $1.8 billion brand. The premix market for tea was worth $1.98 billion globally in 2023, growing at a rate of 7.25%. In North America, this category, mainly used to make iced tea, generates approximately $465 million annually. From a retail perspective, will you discuss the significance of convenience and the advantages of teas that can be easily tossed into a water bottle or diluted one-to-one from concentrate?
I mean, I think convenience is king, right? I mean, I think there's always going to be that 5-ish% of the consumer base that is willing to really geek out on something, get the tea wares, go through the actual formal kind of ritual and preparation. I think the vast majority, if you look at just the marketplace out there, people are looking for convenience. They're looking for something that's easy, something that's consistent, replicable, powders, solubles, stick packs, definitely, I think, accomplish that aim. I'm a firm proponent of loose leaf tea. I think it's, kind of tea in its ideal form, but it's been a challenge, right? Just kind of getting the American customer open to trying loose leaf tea. And so I guess I want to try to demystify tea as a whole, right? And make it something that does seem truly kind of easy and approachable. With matcha, you get to kind of bypass the brewing step and the equipment necessary in some instances, right? And whether that is, a stick pack or a teaspoon out of a tin. I think when it comes to the soluble, though, I know it is growing. I know it is popular, but I think it's actually growing at the same pace as loose leaf tea. It's definitely starting at a higher benchmark. So I saw some data couple years ago, but it was basically kind of comparing instant tea as kind of this next big thing. I'll be honest, I've heard that for the last 15 years as well. And so, I don't know when it will ever actually, or if it will actually ever break through. I don't know. Or is it one of those things where it's just always going to appeal to, 15% of the market who is looking for the most convenient delivery method? I think the farther you get away from leaves in a cup of hot water, whether that's ground or in loose leaf or in some other cut size, I think you're losing a little bit about what tea is and the kind of experiential piece that a lot of people love about it. And it's not purely for taste or function. A lot of it is, that moment of sitting down, brewing up a pot, whether alone or with somebody else. Like it's that experience itself that I think is so part of the enjoyment of it, that do you just miss that by going to these super convenient formats?
Yeah, let's talk briefly about botanicals. That's trending as well.
This is probably where most of my interest and kind of personal experience come in. So, I started with Teavana originally, and obviously they skewed very heavily towards the fruit and herbal infusions. So many customers aren't familiar or know the difference even between an herbal tisane and a flavored green tea or a flavored black tea. And so, for me, it's like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, right? I mean, you got thousands of different ingredients, whether it's very health focused, functional herbs to fruits of every color, type, cut size, processing method. I mean, there's so many options out there. That's why I honestly love working with Wollenhaupt. I was a customer before I worked here, buying their blends, and just being able to kind of open that pantry up and create whatever you can imagine, whether it's inspiration from a cocktail or a dessert or some, exotic food or fruit or something that you see at a grocery store or a farmer's market. Like you can then create a blend around that, and it allows you to, explore different flavor combinations, different visual aspects, aromas. I can kind of geek out on this stuff, and I think it's really fun just to create something unique. And again, like the possibilities are endless. I think with tea, and especially when you add in herbals, fruits, tisanes, the options are endless. And so, yeah, definitely see it as a trend. It just allows people more expression, more variety, energy level, health and wellness, functional benefits. It's, again, kind of an endless runway.
Over the 25 years since you first began distributing tea samples at the mall, the overall quality in the specialty segment has improved, resulting in better margins, enhanced brand differentiation, increased loyalty and retention, and a closer alignment with ethical and sustainable practices.
Yeah, and one thing I will say, which I think is definitely a good thing, is that there is just an overall kind of move towards premiumization. I think that comes with education and just awareness, right? I'm bullish on tea as a product, whether that's RTD, whether that's premium loose tea in a retail shop or a grocer. I think overall there is a move towards more health and wellness. Tea has ubiquitous buy-in from, every age group, every, demographic out there, that it's good for you. And it's got, centuries of history to back that up. So I think, the future is very bright for tea. I think it will definitely evolve as we, constantly see, and whether that's, through preferences or different formats or flavor profiles. I think all that will happen. I'm pretty confident that there will be, you know, sort of a renaissance around quality, education, awareness. You know, I see it in my own personal circles where, you know, 10 years ago, I'd tell people I worked for a tea company and it'd be like, okay. And now all of a sudden, you know, I get asked, you know, 10 questions about it because, you know, people tell me all the time, like, oh, I've stopped drinking coffee and now I only drink tea. Like I probably hear that 3 times a week nowadays. One of my favorite parts about this role with Wollenhaupt is getting to meet brand owners, right? People that are entrepreneurs that have started a tea company because they either, you know, saw a business opportunity or just love tea and wanted to make it their full-time gig. And so being able to work with them and stay somewhat connected to the customer and what the trends are has been really awesome. You know, I'd say from a global standpoint, obviously, you know, the current trade situation is a factor that everyone is concerned about. And there's just a ton of uncertainty right now. I think that's the biggest obstacle right now is just nobody wants to make any significant moves because you don't know what it's going to be in a week, a month, 6 months, a year. And so it will take time for that to obviously play itself out and for people to figure out the right next steps for them to take, you know, especially if as a producer or an exporter. I think, yeah, there will be some creative supply chains that emerge out of this. I think, you know, certain types of tea and, you know, especially high grade, high quality Chinese origin teas will be affected. And I think that's unfortunate. I don't think it's not fair. It's not something that, you know, they're competing with a domestic market of tea production in the United States. And so, you know, my personal hope is that, you know, we continue to kind of see exemptions and stuff come out and tea maybe being one of those. But I do think in general, people are very committed to their tea. It's one of the highest, you know, ritualistic, you know, purchases that people make. And once they're, you know, established in the habit of brewing and drinking tea, they stick with it.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.